Israeli forces kill the elusive leader of Hezbollah, Hassan Nasrallah, just days after infiltrating the network and simultaneously exploding thousands of Hezbollah pagers. We're going to see how what Israel just did changes the entire equation of the balance of power in the Middle East. Hey, gang, it's me, Dr. Steve, your Patriot professor, and we're going to see how the situation in the Middle East just changed dramatically and what that means for the future of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. So make sure to like, comment, and subscribe, and let's dive right in. Hassan Nasrallah, the leader of the Lebanese militant group Hezbollah for more than three decades, has been killed by Israeli forces in what many are calling Israel's most aggressive move yet against Hezbollah. Several Israeli airstrikes rocked southern Beirut, demolishing buildings claimed by Israeli officials to be the headquarters of Hezbollah. Within hours, Israeli forces announced the death of Nasrallah, which was indeed later confirmed by Hezbollah officials. And just hours later, Israeli forces struck a number of Houthi targets in Yemen in retaliation against recent attacks by the Iranian-backed militant group. As he watches the world burn, Biden had this to say about the latest strikes on Yemen.
Mr. President, will you deploy more U.S. troops to the Middle East?
Mr. President, has Netanyahu gone too far?
Any comment on the strikes in Yemen, Mr. President?
Multiple sides have got seven strikes. Working like the bargaining effort, I think they'll settle the strike.
Yes. Yes, you just heard that. You just heard the sitting president of the United States refer to the strikes in Yemen as worker strikes, as the strikes that disgruntled workers go on. He literally just stood there and said that he supports the collective bargaining effort. The collective bargaining effort in Yemen. It's just so sad to watch how they're so heartlessly abusing this guy. And you'll notice how the legacy media is an intrinsic part of that abuse. Where are they? Where are they and all that? They could care less. Can you imagine Trump responding to a question like that? Can you imagine the 24/7 mockery and ridicule? They would have called on him to take an immediate cognitive exam. They would have called on his cabinet to invoke the 25th. Biden says it, crickets. Nothing. Literally nothing. As of the making of this video, by the way, I did a Google search. I found not a word about Biden's confusing military strikes with a workers' strike and then claiming that he was informed about it and that he supported the collective bargaining effort. Again, in Yemen, not a word. Well, regardless, the fundamental question surrounding particularly the Nasrallah hit centers on how on earth did the Israelis know where he was? You see, the fact that they even knew where Nasrallah was itself quite the feat. And that's because Nasrallah was notorious for never disclosing his location. He rarely spoke or appeared in public. In fact, foreign reporters talk often about the extraordinary security surrounding any interview they would have with him. They commonly describe being blindfolded and driven around the city both before and after the interview. And their possessions were meticulously searched by his bodyguards. So the fundamental question is, how on earth did Israeli officials know where Nasrallah was in order to target him in that strike? And this is where things get very, very interesting. Gang, if you saw that recent debate, then you saw how media bias contributes to the divisions in our nation and makes it hard for people to think for themselves. That's why I use Ground News. It helps me see through the noise to form my own opinions. Ground News is a website and app that gathers news from 50,000 sources around the world so you can stay fully informed on the news of the day and see through media bias and manipulation. Check it out for yourself at ground.news/Steve. That's ground.news/Steve. So, for example, we could see that there are over 600 articles on a recent story asking who won the Harris-Trump presidential debate. Now, if we look at the coverage details and bias distribution, we could see which news sources cover this story along with a breakdown of the political leaning of the outlets reporting. 41% of sources reporting are from left-leaning sources, while just 22% are from right-leaning. And then we could compare the headlines from each side. The left doesn't even hide their bias, reporting that, quote, Harris won the debate and it wasn't even close. While this headline from an outlet that leans right calls out the pathetically biased moderators from ABC. Interesting how outlets on the left completely ignore the moderators' bias against Trump. My favorite feature is the blind spot feed. I use it so I won't miss out on any important stories covered by just one side of the political spectrum. And it helps me make sure I'm getting a balanced view of the news. Just go to ground.news/Steve. Again, that's ground.news/Steve, or scan the QR code on the screen. Using my link gets you 40% off the Vantage plan. It's the same plan I have for unlimited access to all their features. Click on that link below right now. There are now reports that this one in particular comes from a Saudi news channel that Israeli forces tracked Nasrallah with an unknown substance. Nasrallah reportedly met with a man traveling from Iran to Beirut who shook his hand and in turn transferred a trackable substance onto Nasrallah's palm. Now, the story simply has not been verified, and I have no idea if there's an invisible substance that can be traced remotely. Regardless, the very fact that so many are so perplexed as to how Israeli forces pulled this off, especially against the backdrop of the exploding pagers, right, which took everyone by surprise, which I'm sure you all heard about. All of this was the subject of a fascinating piece by the Estonian journalist Andrew Koribko. It's entitled, Everyone Was Wrong About the Latest Israeli-Lebanese War. And I really liked his take because I think he explains precisely what Israel is ultimately doing here and why it's caught Hezbollah forces so off guard. Koribko notes that the basic default position of Lebanon versus Israel in terms of their hostilities towards one another is a standard policy of mutually assured destruction, right? A MAD policy. So because both nations have such enormous stockpiles of missiles, Hezbollah believed that they had achieved the advantage of mutually assured destruction, thus restraining both sides and their actions in any future conflict, right? That's what a MAD policy basically does. It removes the escalation ladder from any conflict. Conflicts are won when one side can escalate beyond what the other side is capable of. If both sides can escalate to a point where they annihilate each other, there's no possibility of winning. There's no escalation that the other can't meet. What this reporter emphasizes is that the reason why Hezbollah has been so measured in its strikes against Israel, and we can add Iran into that measured mix as well after their very measured retaliation against Israel's bombing of their consulate. The reason why they've been measured is because no one wants to trigger mutually assured destruction, right? It's for the same reason why the United States and the Soviet Union never fought a hot war, right? We could fight each other through proxy wars all over the world, but we could never have direct military conflict precisely because of this MAD policy. And so despite all the rhetoric, Hezbollah really can't do that much directly to Israel, lest it sets off the events that would lead to their own mutually assured destruction. However, what the Israeli forces seem to have figured out is how to actually bypass that MAD stalemate with their own superior intelligence capabilities. So the Mossad, the National Intelligence Agency of Israel, they found all kinds of ways of penetrating into the inner workings of Hezbollah, including the pagers that were used by Hezbollah operatives, including where they kept much of those stockpiles of weapons and where they were hidden. And now they had an intelligence that included the whereabouts of one of the most secretive leaders on the planet. And what Israel's able to do now is they're able to strike in such a way that doesn't justify massive retaliation on Lebanon's part. They were able to detonate thousands of pagers almost simultaneously, killing over a dozen people, injuring upwards of 4,000, latest reports are, which is devastating for sure, but it's not the same as like attacking a city with missiles and guns ablazing. In other words, the cleverness or the deceitfulness, however you want to characterize it, of Israeli intelligence in figuring out how to infiltrate the Hezbollah social order has allowed them to bypass the striking limitations placed on them by virtue of MAD, while at the same time crippling Hezbollah's ability to retaliate. Were Hezbollah to unleash their missiles, it would be game over. They would only ensure their own mutual destruction. But they don't have the intelligence or technology, right, to strike back using the Mossad's penetrating tactics. And so it looks like Israel figured out a way of neutralizing Hezbollah without triggering their own mutually assured destruction. Now, what does this all mean for the future of this conflict? Well, I think it means that Israel now believes that they can attack the so-called axis of resistance, nations like Lebanon and Yemen and Syria and Iran. Israel believes they can attack them now with relative impunity. If that's the case, if they feel like they've now figured out a way of taking out many of their enemies without fear of reprisal, then I think this is only going to embolden Israel and frankly prolong the conflict because it's going to inevitably escalate it. Israel's going to want to take out as many of their enemies holistically, as Kamala would say, as possible. Up until this point, the main thesis of the conflict has been that Israel planned on defeating their enemies in the region largely by dragging the United States into the conflict and letting the United States take out their enemies for them. And they believe that they could drag the United States in if they goaded Iran into a conflict, were Iran and Israel to end up in a real hot war. If Iran, for example, were to do what Hezbollah has been doing or what Yemen of late has been doing, that would most likely provoke a response from U.S. forces. Thus far, both Iran and U.S. forces have resisted that. And so it looks like Israel's found another way. They've penetrated inside their enemies, particularly Hezbollah, and they've been able to neutralize them in such a way that cannot justify a mutually assured destructive response on their part, on their enemy's part. If that's the case, perhaps Israel found the soft spot of the axis of resistance. We're going to have to see how this plays out. Regardless, it's no exaggeration to state what Israel just did really does appear to have changed everything.